Hey, what's going on, everybody? Nick Red here in studios. I'm by myself today. Happy Easter to you. It is it's day four, Wednesday, if you're listening to this on Wednesday. It's day four of Easter. I don't know if you know that, but we're just halfway through the octave, which is a pretty big deal. Every day of the octave is just like another Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. So we should be celebrating as good Christians. I'm talking like champagne for breakfast sort of celebration. So let's be joyful. I pray your Easter is off to an awesome start. We have a massively long season ahead of us here. Pumped for it. We have a special treat for you today. So we're kind of hijacking our series on deliverance. We had one more episode slated for today. We're going to kick it to next week. And we want to insert in an episode that we're pulling from the archives here on the gospel of the kingdom. And I think it really is going to pair well with last week's conversation on authority, taking authority over our enemies, which is the fourth key. And how that ties in with the gospel that Jesus preached, which the gospel that Jesus preached, it wasn't the gospel of salvation or the gospel of repentance, but if you look throughout scriptures, it's the gospel of the kingdom or the gospel of the kingdom of God. And I love it. And as we go through this Easter season, we're reading through the book of Acts. And in the first chapter of Acts, Acts 1 verse 3 talks about Jesus presenting himself alive after his passion, appearing to them during the 40 days and speaking to them of the kingdom of God. So for 40 days, Jesus is going about teaching people about the kingdom of God. And so we want to invite you guys into this conversation we had. I think we recorded this last fall, talking about the gospel of the kingdom and what that means. What did Jesus mean by that? We can only cover so much in about 25 minutes, but we hope the conversation blesses you. We will see you next week. Again, I just want to say, for those of you who have reached out to us, whether email, phone call, text, just encouraging us, we are blown away that people are actually listening to this. But so thank you for the reviews. Thank you for the encouragement. We really do pray that that this does bless you. Thanks for joining us for the ride here. God bless you guys. We'll see you next week, and we're going to kick it over to the episode right now. Jesus came as a freaking juggernaut to snap those powers, to break them, and to bring the kingdom of God on earth. Welcome back, everybody, to Greater Works, an SPO podcast. I'm here with Bridget Pinsino, my co-host. I'm Nick Red, coming at you live from Kansas City. Good to be with you guys today, Bridget. How the heck are you?
I am doing well.
We've been in the studio for about an hour and a half now, teasing out a bunch of stuff in our own personal lives.
It's been so good. My heart feels teased out. My emotions feel good. Some heart level stuff. And just to all the listeners out here, Nick is an incredible brother and one of, just the best men that I know. You just drew out my heart in some deep things and listened and received me and blessed me and honored me, just blessed me as an older brother. And it was awesome.
Thanks.
So just really grateful.
Yeah. Praise God. Yeah. Wow. That's awesome. So where to go from there? Yeah, I'll take that. I'll take that to the bank. Praise Jesus. So we actually were talking about, we got to have a conversation on navigating thoughts and feelings and emotions. Cause I had an experience over the weekend with Teresa and just little Tua. We actually swapped bedrooms with each other. So Tua, little Perpetua, she's at the top of the stairs, and in our bedroom that's a walkthrough room to get to our bedroom. Every time I needed something and she's napping, I would have to walk through her room, and often I would wake her up. This caused a little bit of marital tension over the weekend, and as you could imagine, and we were just saying, like,
one thing Teresa has such an ability to do is to acknowledge what is she's experiencing within herself in this moment, anger at her husband, not letting it possess her, but then actually seeking reconciliation through it. We're probably going to have a series on that. Super important stuff that a lot of times, I mean, we're called to be ministers of reconciliation.
Yeah, amen.
How do we engage that? How do we honor the what we're experiencing, but not let it consume us, but also honor the pain and share that with somebody else? So anyways, that's not the topic of conversation today.
No, but it's a little bit of a teaser for what's coming sometime in the next few weeks.
Yeah, so what we want to talk about today, also, I saw over the weekend on Saturday at this Montessori gala, I just told you this, but I'm telling our listeners this, Sister Miriam...
James Highland.
Yeah. With the SALT sisters, the Sisters of Our Lady of the Most Holy Trinity. I think we should get her on this podcast.
Yes.
Why are you laughing?
Because when you say it, I mean, now it's here. So Sister Miriam, somebody send her this podcast and ask her.
Yeah. She's with the Abiding Together podcast, right? A friend crush?
Yep.
Yeah. She's awesome.
She's
incredible. Freaking slayed the room talking about the Father's love.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And she preaches.
She's good.
There's fire.
Yeah. She's got an awesome story too. Check her out. Abiding Together podcast. And I think I Am Love or Loved as I Am is
loved
her book.
Loved as I Am. Yeah, absolutely.
So what we're going to be talking about today is the reason Jesus came, which if we were to ask you that, what would you say? Why did Jesus come? And if you Google the reason the Son of Man came, you're going to get 1 John 3:8, which is that the reason the Son of Man came. Do you remember what it is? To?
Oh, you got to help me out now.
Destroy.
The works of the enemy?
The works of the enemy. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And he did this through his passion, death, and resurrection. Mm-hmm. And what we want to talk a little bit today with you all about is authority and the authority that you have, that the gospel that Jesus preached was a gospel of authority. Hmm. And what he called it was the gospel of the kingdom.
Love that.
Which I freaking love that.
So a couple weeks ago now, we talked about how God became king.
Uh-huh.
So can you tease out maybe just, and it might just be a little thing, like how is this distinctly different,
mm-hmm.
like why Jesus came versus how God became king.
Right. So if you haven't checked out that episode, check it out. It's, I think, episode 4. It's the story writer, the gospel writers were trying to tell, which is the story of God becoming king of heaven and of earth. And if you don't get that story, then the gospels reading them is you really miss a lot. So what we want to talk about today is actually how does that play out in your life? What does that mean? What does it mean for the king to have a kingdom? And what do we mean by kingdom? Because a lot of times I think in our Western minds, like we're in Chiefs kingdom here, right?
Yes, we are.
Go Chiefs.
Don't forget it.
I officially became a Chiefs fan, I don't know, a year or so ago. And
as you should.
I was a St. Louis fan, but then when they moved to LA, I mean... My heart wasn't really broken. My brother's was, but when they were horrible.
Sorry,
though.
Jacob.
I know, nice memory, Jacob. Shout out. What's up, man? I hope you're a regular listener of this podcast by this point, but my brother loved it when they went out to LA. He hated it. His heart was broken, but when they didn't get any points one game, and the LA Galaxy, the soccer team, won 2-0. They scored more points than the LA Rams, but that was like 8 years ago. Anyways, I'm a Chiefs fan now.
Yeah.
Go Mahomes.
Me too. There you go. Chiefs
and
kingdom.
So we're in Chiefs kingdom. A lot of times in our Western mind, when we think of kingdom, we think of typically one of two things. And that's either we think of a realm, like the geographical area that the king or queen expresses dominion and sovereignty, or we think of the people in the kingdom. But we want to share a little bit today what we believe that Jesus meant by kingdom, and the words he uses that the scriptures use have to do with not so much of a realm, but more so of authority, rank, and the sovereignty or the power expressed by the king. And this is
That's
the gospel.
Good.
This is Romans 1:16. Paul says, I'm unashamed of the gospel because it is the power of salvation to all who believe, to the Jews first and also to the Greeks. It is the power. So this is the gospel of the kingdom. It's the gospel of power. And I propose to you that if the gospel that you're experiencing, if it hasn't shaken you with power, you haven't experienced the gospel. Without power, it's simply, what is it? It's secular humanism. It's just live nicely, do the nice thing, do the right thing.
Be kind to each other.
Right.
Which is, we want to do
which
that.
Which we want that.
Without power.
But how many of you know you don't get crucified for being nice?
Yeah. I heard someone speaking recently where they were talking about, I mean, like the works of mercy and, you know, we, and even like, okay, so we want to clothe the naked and feed the hungry. Exactly. Tua, we, Tua and all these things. And that's required and that's expected of you, but it doesn't need power. I mean, it helps, but like power, we need power in order to like manifest actually the fullness of the gospel message.
So Jesus came to destroy the works of the enemy and he proclaimed the gospel of the kingdom and he demonstrated it, not just with words, but with deeds. And I love how Father John Ricardo says that the power of the gospel message is not in the messenger. Right?
Right.
It's in the message. So the gospel message is laced with power. And ultimately, I love Father John Ricardo's way of explaining it. It's not just like we're separated from God, you know, but it's we were created and it's the story of creation is a lot cooler than you even know. But then we are actually captured, not just separated from God, but the imagery he uses is an image of basically a person caught in sex trafficking. They're enslaved. They're not getting out. They're trapped. You are enslaved to these demonic powers, these forces, and they're called sin and death. And Jesus came as a freaking juggernaut to snap those powers, to break them, and to bring the kingdom of God on earth. So whenever in scripture, whenever they talk about God's kingdom, they're not talking about necessarily, the words are, if you care, they're Malkuth and Basileia. Malkuth is the Hebrew, Basileia is the Greek. They have to do not with the geographical area, but with the power and the rule and the authority exercised by the king. And that's going to change reality. That's going to change culture. That's going to have a physical manifestation on land, on humans, on creatures. I mean, there are stories of Jesus breaking the demonic power over people, and they're healed. They're freed. The kingdom of God breaks in, and its power breaking in to someone's life, into a situation, and the hold of the enemy is snapped over them, and they're healed. They're set free. They're forgiven. Even salvation is power. It's the power of salvation. God breaking in into someone's life. So it's not God's kingdom and his power. It's God's kingdom is his power.
Wow. But I'm reminded of, I think we've referenced this a couple times now, but it's Acts chapter 4, and this is verse 19, where Peter and John are answering the Sadducees. They've just healed. The man has been healed at the gate called Beautiful, and they're preaching the resurrection of Jesus. And then they say, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must be the judge. For we cannot but speak of what we've seen and heard. Like, we can't help but what we've but speak of what we've seen and heard. And I've heard it said before, just this question of like, you know, to yourself, like, can you help it?
Yeah.
Can you help speak of what you've seen and heard? Because if you can, then you might need another dose of the power of God. You might need another experience of his kingdom, rule and reign and authority in your life. Can you help it? Oh, that's convicting for me. In the morning when I wake up, like, can I help it? Can I help speak of what God has done, what I've seen him do in my life, what I've experienced him do in and around me?
Right.
If I can help it.
Right.
I need some more, Jesus. I need more, another dose of your kingdom rule and reign in my life.
Yeah. I've heard it's always important to go back to what a priest friend of mine calls your Galilee moment. Where Jesus called you. And I'm reminded right now of you know, it was the summer of 2009. I found myself confessing my sins to a priest. It wasn't officially confession yet, but I was at a lonely place, didn't know who to talk to, ended up talking to this priest and started confessing, and he pulls out a little stole out of his pocket and little skinny travel stole and says, "We're just going to turn this into a confession." And I poured my heart out and confessed a lot of crap that I'd never shared with anybody else. And I'll never forget his words. He says, "Welcome home, brother." And then my penance was to go next door into the church before the tabernacle. And he says, "Just go up and stand there and just say, yes, that was my penance." And I did. And that was the first time I experienced the power of the gospel being released into my life right there in that day in Alton, Illinois, in St. Mary's Catholic Church. And I was standing there and I said, yes, and the Spirit of God just rushed on me. And that was my, call it a born again experience, call it my reversion or conversion or a baptism in the Holy Spirit experience. I didn't have that language for it at the time, but that's exactly what happened. And the Spirit of God broke and fell on me, filled me up at the same time. It was both like a covering and a filling.
Whoa.
And wow. I could not help but talk to people about Jesus and Matthew Kelly. I discovered this guy named Matthew Kelly.
You're an evangelist.
I know. And I just started telling everybody and burning CDs back when people used CDs and gave them to everybody. And I just couldn't stop talking to people about Jesus. And I had no idea what I was doing. But it was as if my eyes were opened and the kingdom of God broke into my life. And I felt like, as Father said, like, welcome home. Welcome home, brother. I felt like for the first time in my life, I was at home with myself. And like I had this self-possession and I was walking, to use the language of today's conversation, in an authority that I never had before. And this is the whole purpose of Christ's incarnation, is that he desires to restore humanity to our place of authority. Like on earth, in your own realm. And there's people he's placing in our lives that he is inviting us to speak into, to share the power of the gospel message. Because if it's just words, as I was recently talking about this whole conversation we're having right now, and I was reminded of Bishop Barron. A year ago, I think it was in Advent, the reading was Jesus cleansing the temple, and everyone was asking, by what authority do you do this? And he says the word authority that's used here is ekousia. Means literally from the being of, that Jesus speaks with the very ekousia of God. It's the authority of God. So his words affect what they say. So he says, "Lazarus, come out," and the dead man comes out. He says, "Little girl, arise," and she rises. Wow. He says, that's Talitha Kum, right?
Right.
So what ephatha, be opened, in the mouth is opened. And what he says is, and then he says this, he says, "Friends, this is the authority of the church. If we are simply guardians of one interesting philosophy or philosophical perspective among many, then we are, get this, powerless. If we rely on our own cleverness and argumentation, then we will fail. Our power comes," and this remains a great mystery, he says, "only when we speak with the authority of Jesus Christ." This is the power of the gospel.
Wow.
And this is the power of the gospel of the kingdom breaking in. And it's whenever he claims more territory in my life through that situation of confession. And I've given a lot of territory and a lot of authority to the demonic powers and principalities, and I submit to Jesus and I receive his authority and receive authority through relationship with him, the power can flow through. And it's the kingdom of God within each one of us. And this is what I need more of this.
Amen. Yeah. I'm just thinking as you're talking, I'm wondering, maybe even if it's just someone who's listening is this thinking like, how can I speak in the authority of Jesus, with the authority of Jesus in his name? How can I do that? It's almost, I mean, whatever it is, like maybe I don't see myself clearly, but whether it's self-worth or just like, I actually haven't heard that before. And I know something we've talked about is we're not just orphans running around with a bunch of power, mm-hmm. but it's because of who we are in our sonship, united in Jesus in our sonship before the Father. Like we have a Father, mm-hmm. and we walk around as sons and daughters, as kings and queens, in that authority. And I think like knowing that and stepping into that truth. I mean, we talk about how our words either bless or we can curse, mm-hmm. With everything. And so it's walking around with this knowledge, like because of the authority that I have in Jesus, my words bless or they can curse. So I'm walking around with a new awareness of how my words affect things. Mm-hmm. Like I was spending time with my niece this weekend and she's like almost three and learning how to share. And it's hard to share with your aunt when you're playing with toys. Yeah. But just and so in this, she's kind of having a little bit of trouble with that. But I just got to bless her. I just blessed, like, her name's Grace. Grace, you are good. Mm. You are loved. You're mm-hmm. lovable. You're cherished. And it's just like something about her countenance changed.
Yeah.
She just like kind of looked at me like, not perplexed, but just kind of like, huh. Like mm-hmm. she was experiencing something just, mm-hmm. but I mean, she's not even three, so she can't articulate that. But something about her changed by the way that I just blessed her.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm just aware of that, like, we get to step into a new authority if we haven't heard this before. And even if we have heard it before, we get to step into like more and more authority as we discover more of who we are in Jesus and what he has for us.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the word that is standing out as you're talking is awareness.
Yeah.
Like when you become aware, like for most of my life, I didn't even know this was, this was a part of Christianity.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was legal to like pray for healing.
Yeah.
Or even bless, like that word, like there's arguments in the church of can lay people even bless? Well, yes and no. Like Jesus says, take this, all of you, and eat of it. And this is my body. And what he says is, if you're a lay Catholic, you don't have that authority. But there are positional authorities that a ministerial priest has and a priest, prophet, and king that we have, that our words, as James says, can bless and curse. We can bless ourselves. Fathers and mothers can bless their children. We bless our food. And so we can. And so I think it's just an awareness of how much authority we have. And it's really just believing this. It's the power of belief and faith. And these signs will accompany those who
believe.
And if you believe in me, he says, but if you don't believe me for the sake of the works. Mm-hmm. Truly, truly, if you believe in me, you'll do these works that I do and greater works.
Amen. There it is.
Will you do? So I think a big part of it is the battle of the mind in believing that you are and anointed. This is true if you are a baptized Christian, that you are a priest, prophet, and a king. We talked about what it means to be a prophetic people last time, to speak on behalf of God. And then as a priest, you're called to reflect all of creation's worship to the Creator God. And as king and queen, we're restored back to our original intention of governing, being kings and queens, rulers of this world. And it's a rule that is at the service of others, and it's sharing the gospel. It's participating in what Jesus did. And John writes about in 1 John 3:8 is to destroy the works of the devil. And that happens through love, that happens through relationship, which is where we get all of our authority. I propose that you have no authority over that which you do not love.
Yeah.
And so that's what it comes down to.
Hmm.
Loving the hell out of
I love that.
This
Amen.
World.
Yeah. I'm reminded, particularly as you were talking about your own story and just kind of conversion moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm reminded of in Acts of the Apostles when Pentecost happens in chapter 2. I love learning about words and what they mean. And something I discovered recently is that there's two different words for two different Greek words used in Pentecost for fill. So in verse 2 of chapter 2 of Acts of the Apostles, it says, suddenly a sound came from heaven like the rush of a mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And then in verse 4, it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And something I didn't know.
Same English word.
Okay. Yeah, filled. But in verse 2, I'm not going to try and pronounce it.
Yeah.
Maybe I will.
Try
it's like
it.
Plero? P-L-E-R-O-O.
Plero.
Sure.
It's the name of my second child.
Okay, good. Tell Teresa. In verse 2, that word means filled inwardly. And then in verse 4, the word is pletho, P-L-E-T-H-O, and people, you can send me an email, tell me how to actually pronounce this. And that means filled outwardly, or it also can mean furnished and equipped.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, it's good. So it just reminded me of like what your experience was, like, because you're saying like you both had this kind of covering and this wow. like filling up from within. So this was the anointing of the Spirit for ministry. So we need the filling of the Spirit both inwardly for our life and then outwardly for ministry. And I love how the Greek words speak to that, of this filling inwardly, filling outwardly, being furnished and equipped for the works of ministry.
Let's freaking go.
So power.
Come on. So this is it. So we speak the words and we're going to ask for the Lord to confirm it. So I don't know if you're driving, if you're studying, if you're working out, wherever you are, kingdom of God is going to come and meet you where you're at. So Father God, we ask you in the powerful name of Jesus Christ that you fill the temples that are hearing these words right now, that you fill them with the power of your Holy Spirit, that you both fill them inside and that you cover them, that you fill the rooms they're in, the cars they're driving. Holy Spirit, come and anoint your sons and daughters with power from on high so that they will be your witnesses, your martyrs, in their particular realms and spheres of influence with the authority that you have given them, that they can not just speak the words that are empty, but they can speak words in power that can bless people, that we can partner with you, Jesus. So Holy Spirit, I pray for a fresh filling of your power. And we pray this in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks for joining us today, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Sweet.
I think we kind of got somewhere.
We did too. We did get